Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Sunday on Fox, Chase Young leads Washington against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers or other regional action. Check local listings for the game in your area. Only on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Don't miss your chance to win $100,000 of Terry Bradshaw's money on the Fox Bet Super 6 app. Super 6 players have won over $5 million, and you could be the next jackpot winner. Scan the QR code, download the app, and pick six NFL games for your shot at the cash. Colts at 49ers is one of the matchups. Call on who wins and by how many points.
Colts 49ers? 49ers, I'll give you the exact score.
Okay.
49ers win 30-23.
There we go.
Colts are beat up. And that's a great, I'm glad you gave me that game because I am one of these people. This is one of my mantras in life. I have two or three mantras. One of them is don't let people with no life ruin yours. Another one is don't be consumed with being right. Just get it right. So Jimmy Garoppolo is going to play this week. You go talk to fans about Jimmy Garoppolo. It's like a vaccine mandate. Like, it doesn't matter what the CDC says. This is what I believe in. I'm not changing my mind. Whatevs. Jimmy Garoppolo, since Kyle Shanahan showed up in San Francisco, the Niners are 20, and we think Kyle Shanahan's a good coach. They're 24-10 when Jimmy plays, and they're 7-28 when he doesn't. There you go. So now you could say, well, if you had a better backup, how many teams have a good backup? Cleveland, Case Keenum is a good backup. Geno Smith, is he good? I mean, who has a good backup? Is there, I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head. Not many teams in the league have a good backup. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have a much bigger market when the Niners move off him. And I was thinking about it this morning. I'm just going to name teams. There's a likelihood they may move off. Miami, Philly, Houston, Washington, Denver, Pittsburgh, Saints. That's seven. I don't think the Giants will move off Daniel Jones. I'm giving him till Thanksgiving. So seven teams. Deshaun Watson going to go to one. Aaron's going to go to one. Rodgers. That's five minimum. So the college draft has a bunch of kids from smaller schools. Malik Willis at Liberty can run around a lot. He'll go top five. Desmond Ridder, the Cincinnati kid, he may go number one. Matt Corral, Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin. I think he drops a bit, but he'll go top 10, top 12. If you look at Jimmy Garoppolo's numbers, just take his career numbers every start. Folks, you got to be honest about it. He has a 67% completion rate, a 2-1 TD to pick ratio, and a passer rating of 98.7. He's going to have a market. And I know you don't like him, but he's 26-10 as a starter. So that again, I have my misgivings about him, and he's constantly hurt. But those are, you can't, well, Shanahan's a great coach. Is he? Because his record, let me repeat to you, is 7-28 without Garoppolo. All right. So, it's one of those things. When I look at the 49ers, I picked him to be 9-8. My takeaway was, I don't know if Garoppolo can stay healthy. Shocker, September, October, he gets hurt. But he will have a market. He's not a bad quarterback. He will absolutely have a market. Also, the Dodgers season is alive, and it's interesting because the Dodgers have had some weird pitching matchups. They get a huge break here. They got Max Scherzer going in game six. They win or they're out. And then they got Walker Buehler, who really struggled in his last outing, going in game seven. So they have their two pitchers you would want in game six. And game seven. They've got their Hall of Fame level Max Scherzer. Buehler's their best young arm. Last night at Dodger Stadium, you saw this three times.
2-2. Taylor with a fly ball to deep left center field. Chris Taylor has hit his third home run of the night and becomes the 11th different player in baseball history with three home runs in a postseason game.
So, Chris Taylor, three jacks. Trey Turner had three hits. Justin Turner's out for the year, but they do get pitching matchups. Dodgers are weird. They score runs in bunches. So, the bad news is Braves could have Charlie Morton go in game seven, and he is always good in the playoffs. Gut feeling Dodgers win game six. We come to a game seven. Don't count them out. although it's been a weird year with a lot of injuries and it doesn't quite feel like their year.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Well, Tom Brady had a really interesting mistake last year in Chicago. If you remember, he threw the incomplete pass on the last offensive play of the game, thinking it was third down. It was actually fourth down and the infamous four. Well, he says that mistake turned into a positive because he and his teammates learned and got better.
That hasn't happened very often in my career. For some reason, that happened at that moment. But yeah, that was a tough loss, and I think we learned a lot from that loss that last year. There was a lot of self-inflicted issues. There was a lot of penalties. There was a lot of miscommunications. There was a lot of things that weren't clean. And then ultimately, we have a chance to win the game in 2 minutes by going down and kicking a field goal, and we don't get the job done.
I don't love the hat on backwards, I'm not going to lie. But he is the GOAT, so the GOAT sets the rules. I don't love it. And by the way, it's becoming a disturbing trend now. Brady and now all these young guys, and Brady's young. He looks like he's 15. Dak now, I saw wear it backwards. It's an incredibly disturbing
trend. Case
Keenum. Well, that I don't care about. But when Dak and Brady, two of my faves, do it, it's a very disturbing trend. I don't like to see it. So, you know, it's like society.
It could just not be a big deal. It's available. Well, are you going to ask him about it? Is that going to be your question?
No, I'm not going to waste a question on the hat or backwards thing.
Do you have like a pen? Colin's going to get to ask Tom Brady a question on Monday.
On SiriusXM, the excellent Jim Gray, who came on our show, he had a great book. His book's fantastic, by the way.
I have his book.
And Jim Gray texted me this morning at 5:30. Jim gets up early, apparently, and said, Colin, me and Tom, could you come on? You get to ask a question. There's going to be like 10 guys, women, I don't know who, journalists. I, of course, am a journalist. And I said, sure, I'll ask Tom a question. And I've been thinking, what am I going to ask him? It can't be pithy. I'm going to tell you my question after the show, and you tell me if it's stupid. I could tell you what I think it is.
Do you have the question now?
Yeah, in my head, I have my question. So, yeah, listen, it's Tom Brady. I'm not going to do some Tom break down a too deep zone.
You know, you have to think of something macro to ask.
Okay, so I was thinking this. You grew up kind of idolizing Joe Montana. And Joe Montana had a very zen funny moment in a Super Bowl where he spotted John Candy, the comedian, in the end zone. And he went back to the huddle. He's like, hey, John Candy's in the end zone. And it showed you sort of how cool and collected. And I was going to say, you've been playing this game so long. You are so brilliant pre-snap. Do you have these zen moments in this game when you're in a rhythm that you're cracking jokes, that you and Gronk, that you've spotted people? Do you have these moments? Because you've almost cheat-coded the sport. You've almost mastered it.
Yeah.
And these games are 4 hours long, and there's timeouts and huddles. Does your mind ever wander? We think of you as Tom, never laughs, but I've seen you laugh on the sidelines. Could you give me a moment when, and just throw that out to him? Or is that stupid?
No, I think that's a good question.
All right.
You have to imagine at this point in Brady's career.
He's been asked everything,
yes. Yeah. But also, that's a good question because, I mean, you've been doing this, what, 30 years?
Yeah.
I've been doing it almost 15, I think. Yeah. 13, 15, somewhere in that range. So you have moments where you think it's like a very intense moment. And
I've lost myself on this show, but twice with you, you've said something. It got into my head. You asked me something and I'm thinking about having to go to the store or my wife's going to scream at me. There's no question. It happens about twice a year. I am literally deep in thought, breaking down the Stanley Cup finals and you're talking NFL or I'm talking about, thinking about grocery list. It happens not much.
Right. But you know, we do this every day for 3 hours. So, you know, even though I know we're supposed to be perfect all the time, sometimes that happens. But his job is much more intense.
Well, yeah, but he also has, we don't have timeouts in the middle of our show.
We have breaks.
I just think, has Tom ever had a moment where his mind wanders and he's like, Gronk, come here. There's that guy, that fan who was in Buffalo last year. We should go when we leave we should do something funny. Does he ever have like one of those little?
Yeah, I think that's a good question.
All right.
So Joe Judge's second season is off to as poor of a start as his first, and he acknowledged yesterday that it's on him to right the ship. He said, I'm the head coach. It's my responsibility, point blank. Every player on this field, every position group, the execution, it all comes down to me. The fish sinks from the head down. I've been taught that by great guys I've worked for and played for. There's no excuses. It starts and ends with me. The Giants are 1-5, identical to their 2020 start, which they finished 6-10.
I don't think that's the real quote. I don't think it is the fish stinks from the head down. I think it's the fish rots from the head down. The fishes don't stink from the head down.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I think they got that one wrong.
I think you're right. But I think his point is made that...
Yeah, that's a good point. He got his point across,
even if it's not the appropriate quote.
Yeah.
I knew what he meant.
Like if you said, a nickel saved is a nickel earned, well, the real quote is a penny saved, penny earned, but it makes the point. Right?
Well, you're saving more.
You're saving more. Exactly, Joy.
Well, look, the Giants are kind of in this space now, right? Like, I didn't have a lot of expectations for the Giants this year. We obviously are still evaluating Daniel Jones. I thought Saquon Barkley coming back was going to be significant for them, but he is now injured again.
Kenny Golladay and Kadarius Toney are not expected
to play this week. Andrew Thomas is on IR. So, look, the injury thing is... It's not an excuse, it's a reason, but there's so many teams dealing with so many injuries. At this point, it's basically a wash to me. I mean, the Ravens have how many injuries? They're still able to deal with it. Like, it's...
The reason, you know, I talked about this the other day, is that Tua's not the problem, he's not the solution. The solution in this league is a great quarterback, because... If Mahomes is here, he gets you wins, because everybody falls apart. I mean, Cleveland's a mess. Baltimore's a mess. The Giants are a mess.
Niners.
I mean, seriously, like Dallas is one of the – Dallas is healthy, and they're still not all the way back. So it's like that's just part of the league. You got to deal with by October, you're going to be missing 7 starters will not practice for that week's game.
Yeah, I think your point about the Chiefs is the best point, because even though their defense has really been struggling,
they're 3-3.
Nobody's ready to doubt them. Nobody's ready to say that they're out of it.
They're favored against a first place team in a division.
Yeah.
There's only one reason why.
Mahomes.
That's it.
Well, the Giants host the Panthers on Sunday. They're currently 3-point underdogs, according to Fox Bet, and you like the Panthers in that game to cover.
But Giants don't have any, they're all beat up. You have a good defense against an offense not starting 6 of their starters.
So finally, J.J. Watt will be facing off against his former team on Sunday, and the defensive end said it's hard for him to see the direction that Houston has gone.
That's why it hurts me to see where it is now, because I believe those fans deserve to be living those high times and to be experiencing those great moments, and it hurts to know that they're not and to know that they're struggling. And so I hope that they get back there at some point, and I hope that they get to do that, because I know firsthand it's an unbelievable place to play when you're rolling.
He went on to say he barely recognizes most of the faces there. Houston replaced a majority of their starters in 2020 when Nick Caserio came up in town.
Now, they're going to get a bunch of draft picks for Deshaun Watson, and they're going to draft a quarterback. So, you know, there's a couple of teams out there. I find Houston's fascinating, and I've said this. Houston's an interesting team, because if you get, let's say you get 2 firsts and 2 seconds for Deshaun Watson, you know, Joy, with the picks you have, I don't think they have a first. They'd have to trade for that. But you can get better fast in this league pretty quick. So they bring that Patriot guy over.
Nick Caserio.
I think they do have their first round pick. So they could get, if they get a second first and a couple seconds, and you know, you start looking at it and you're like, okay, we're going to have 5 new starters.
Well, they also have to get the head coach right. They also have to nail those picks. They also have to nail the quarterback in a light quarterback draft.
I think Philadelphia is fantastic. So if Carson Wentz plays so many snaps, I think it is Philadelphia gets the Colts' first round pick. We did some mock draft the other day. Philadelphia may have 3 of the top 9 picks.
Yeah, they've put together their draft well.
If Jalen Hurts works, I mean, B plus works.
Oh, Philadelphia is in a much better situation than the Texans. Yeah. I don't have any faith the Texans are going to put on track anytime soon.
Speaking of J.J. Watt, I was 3 days ago I was on the internet, and I found J.J. Watt video when he was a tight end as a freshman in college at some directional school in Michigan.
How do you fall into these YouTube wormholes?
First of all, any mock draft, it's over for an hour. Seriously, it could be my 25th wedding anniversary. If I see a mock draft from some nerd in Des Moines, I'm down the wormhole. J.J. Watts, first year in college. He's a tight end for a directional school in Michigan. Joy, he was a monster. He was like a high schooler bowling over 6-year-olds. He was so unbelievably strong.
Well, he is on the right side of this game. The Cardinals are currently favored by 18 points over the Texans, according to Fox Bet. That's
That's the college.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Everybody, we were just talking during the break. Everybody has a snack they like. Joy, pickles. Don't ask me. Because her grandma had pickles.
Yeah.
And I have peanuts all day. Because my dad did. I shovel peanuts in all day.
Well, you're a snacker, though. I'm not a big snacker.
Everybody similarly has something. Every sportscaster I've met has something they love, but they can't talk about it on the air because it would bore the audience.
Yes.
I knew a guy that was a big hockey guy, and I'm like, either work in Buffalo or retire. You can't talk hockey
in
the
air. Yeah, mine's grassroots basketball.
So she loves grassroots basketball. That's why her drafts, she always figures out who can play, and I don't. I love mock drafts because I secretly want to be a GM in the National Football League.
But that's become more not more popular, but like it's become very valuable because the NFL content has just exploded with the ratings like the draft is a whole thing now.
Well, I think grassroots basketball, I think because there's college basketball is disappearing.
Yeah, but you don't want to hear me breaking down a high school kid. I can talk about it when the NBA draft is coming up that
right.
This guy has this value and you know, this
but you've
potential,
been good on it.
But I'm not going to talk about it during the middle of NFL season.
Okay, I got to talk about this too. I only got a couple minutes. So I've got to give a shout out to something. So the NBA is going to take, we don't have any old Alex English video, but I got to give this 2 minutes. So I grew up, I'm almost Rain Man when it comes to 70s, 80s NBA basketball. I had basketball cards more than baseball cards. My first sport I fell in love with was basketball. I go back to the first piece of newspaper I had this little cork board next to my room. We had a weird house. And the first picture I ever put on it was Elmore Smith. It was a Lakers center. He was a short guy, like 6'9". And I put it on my wall. It was like 1969, 1970, 71. I was just 7, 8 years old. I had basketball cards more than baseball cards. I collected both, but I love basketball. So the NBA just came out with their 75th team. The 75 best players NBA, like was it history or something or modern history or whatever. And everybody's complaining that Dwight Howard didn't make it. And Kyrie Irving and Bernard King, all fine. Folks, Alex English did not make the list. Alex English led the league in scoring in the 80s. But Alex English had no ego. He now works for the league. He was not flashy. He was not a big dunker. When I was falling in love with the NBA, late 70s, early 80s, like, Alex English, every night was 27 points for the Denver Nuggets. He led them to 9 playoffs. He didn't make the NBA's list. And he's not even getting mentioned. Everybody's crying for Dwight Howard. High maintenance, needy, bounced around the NBA. You know, he works for about an hour and then people tire of him. Kyrie Irving, I mean, come on. Really? Dependable? Bernard King, unbelievable. Hurt, short career. Alex English, for 9 years, no drama, no maintenance, team leader in a football city, and the West was good. Great teams around the league. They didn't win championships because they didn't have enough players. It was Fat Lever and it was him. Dan Issel, Fat Lever. Alex English didn't make the list. YouTube Alex English. He wasn't flashy. He was classy. He was refined. Smart guy. No headlines. If you led baseball in hits in a decade, I'm going to go with you're fairly valuable. If you lead football in touchdowns for a decade, you're fairly valuable. Alex English led the NBA in points in the 80s. Not only didn't make the list, he's not even getting mentioned because he never toots his own horn. He's not about drama. He's not about maintenance. He didn't have a shoe. He wasn't a dunk machine. Guy was an absolute classy machine. And if you're my age and all the games weren't on television, you'd get the box scores every night, and I'll be damned if Alex English didn't have 29 every single time I grabbed the paper. Alex English had 29. And so I went to watch him play when I was younger because you didn't get all the games on television. I'd never seen him play. You didn't even get all the playoff games on television. So I went and watched him play at like 37 against the Sonics. He was just this slick, slender, great shooter. Didn't toot his own horn. Loved him. All right, I'm done. Mercedes Lewis coming up next, Packers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wolf and Shepherd's the dress shoe made and worn by athletes like Gronk and Steve Nash. Athletic shoe meets agile. Athletic shoe bottom, business shoe on top. Go to wolfandshepherd.com. Wolfandshepherd.com. So Mercedes Lewis is one of only five tight ends in the history of the league that has played 15 plus seasons. That's living right. And still always been willing to block. And I think that's one of the reasons he stayed around. He's always had good hands, but he's willing to block. Mercedes Lewis of the Packers, they're getting ready to play Washington, a very physical team this weekend. By the way, now you're an old guy and you have to block. Did you like blocking as a rookie, or were you just all like, hey, just get me the ball, just want catches, that's all I want?
I think, we had talked before I came on your show. When I was at UCLA, I was there with a guy by the name of John Embry, who's my tight end coach at the time. And John, came in and pretty much stripped me of what I thought a tight end was and basically told me that, look, you want to play a long time in this league. Everybody knows that, you can catch the ball and run with it. But, are you able to dominate it at the point of contact? And that's rare at the next level. And this was in college. And so the way he coached me, he had me ready with the mindset for what I would have to, endure when I got to the league. And here I am 16 years later. Was able to go through a solid prime with catching the ball, and now I'm in a different prime as far as my blocking. So it's definitely been a great experience for me. And, like I said before, I'm just grateful for the opportunity that I'm in an offense that still requires my skill set. So definitely blessed.
Mercedes, I was thinking about this. So go back to your rookie year until now. Because the game is so spread out, you need speed from your linebackers. So actually for you, as you've put on strength and size, have your defenders often gotten smaller because it's such a speed league now? Is it actually today you don't face a 260-pound linebacker? He's probably 232, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's totally different now. When I came in, we had Jeremiah Trotter, and that was a middle linebacker. He was like 265, 270, something like that. So it's definitely changed now. Guys are more avatars and they're running 4.4s and 4.3s. So it's definitely different from that standpoint. But, at the end of the day, you can run like that, but you still got to be able to get off blocks and be able to get around those linemen and sometimes go through those linemen. And I think that's what kind of like levels it out.
So we all thought it was pretty funny when Aaron Rodgers was calling out the Bear fans. I loved it. And I said I loved it because I love that Aaron, he's still so into it. And I don't know. When I watched that, I thought, okay, that's what I want my quarterback to do. I want Brady's still screaming at people. And what was the reaction in the locker room and after with Aaron ripping the Bears fans, the flight back? What was it like?
I mean, it was more so, not even just that moment, but just going into that week. Obviously, Bears, divisional opponent, and a chance to really control our destiny had we took care of business there. Just the conversation that, he had with the offensive guys, he was just like, hey, man, plenty of games we won here. I've won here plenty of times, and this is no different, And so I think, with him and having that confidence and, him being the talent that he is, man, I knew it was coming at some point, but just not in that way. And I think that kind of just lit everybody up in the locker room.
I've said this year. I know Green Bay is in a bubble of 7 or 8 teams for the Super Bowl, but my eyes tell me, Mercedes, that you guys haven't clicked yet. It doesn't, and I don't say that as a criticism. It's just third down, pressure situation, Aaron not quite as tight, offensive lines had injuries. Do you feel like, at a 1 through 10, you're still at 7.5. You have a long tarmac here to get better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't take that. I mean, I take that as a compliment. I mean, we're 5-1 and we haven't clicked yet or played our best game yet. And I think we found different ways to win this year, and that's done nothing but build character. And you know, like you said, like we are, you know, the pursuit to, you know, excellence. I mean, obviously nobody's perfect, but the journey along the way is what we're all about, and just making our plays that are afforded for us to make. And, you know, as we continue to gel here and fight through some injuries and things like that, you know, we're going to be a team to be reckoned with come the end of the season.
So you play Washington this week. Listen, they got 4 first-round picks in the defensive line. They have not played particularly well. And last year, their last 7 or 8 games, Brady couldn't move the ball on them. You couldn't move the ball on them. When have you ever been on a team like that where the talent's there, but it's just not – something's not – I mean, when you look at the film on Washington, what is it?
I mean, to answer your first question, yes. I mean, Jacksonville was like that. I mean, I felt like we were getting guys in the top 10 every single year, but we just couldn't get right on that – you know, just couldn't get right as a team. But when you turn on the film and you just see a bunch of, like I said, avatars running around, athletic, gifted, you know, dominating. Like it's good film out there that they're putting out there. But, you know, for us, it comes down to what we do and what we do well and being able to communicate and handle our business. And it's always been about that.
Is LaFleur the kind of coach? You know, for you and Aaron, intellectually, you've been in this league so long, you guys have seen everything. Do you feel comfortable, you and Aaron, going to LaFleur ever and just saying, hey, this is what I'm seeing? Is Matt open to that stuff from, like, veteran players?
Yeah, he's definitely it's definitely an open-door policy with Matt. And I think even more this year. You know, he lets us know straight up, like, if you guys see something, communicate with me. I trust you guys. And, you know, we'll go from there. But, you know, he's definitely from year one to now, you can just tell that, you know, he trusts the product just being put out there every Sunday, Monday, and sometimes Thursday. So, you know, kudos to him because, it takes going through experience and whether it's winning games or losing games, but you know, being able to stay even keel and being a young coach, being able to trust your guys. And he's been able to do that.
Does this season have a last dance feel to it? I mean, we all talk about that in the media. Is there just a little bit of you thinking, I may not, this may be it with me and Aaron?
Not really. I feel like, you know, obviously at the beginning of the year, you know, with the stuff surrounding Aaron, it was like that was a perception. It was about that. But we're very much in it, man, and just trying to take it one day at a time and be the best version of yourself every day. And, you know, that's all we can control is our process. You know, whether we win or lose, we can't control that. So, sitting here, I can tell you that everybody's very much locked into the process and, you know, living with the results.
By the way, you play Thursday, too, so you're an old guy now. So that means you got 2 games. Let me think about this. 2 games in 5 days. You better go to bed by 6:45. You are.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting all of my sleep, and I got a lot of bank reps as far as how to take care of my body, and I think that's what's gotten me to this point now. And I'll just double down on it before Thursday.
Great seeing you as always. Love having you on. UCLA plays Oregon this week. You know what? Chip's got them. They're a little better. They got shot.
Yeah, they're humming. I was able to check them out against LSU. I went home right before the season started, and they played their butts off. So obviously starting to, you know, turn that thing around a little bit and go Bruins.
Good seeing you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
All right. Mercedes Lewis, a great pro. Only 5 tight ends league history have played 15 plus years. Antonio Gates is one. Tony Gonzalez is one. I think Jackie Smith's a former Cowboy. He played in a couple teams. I'm trying to think of the other one. Did Dave Casper? Maybe not of the Raiders. That's a position that's I think you'll have more of those because now they're such vertical players, not just blockers.
It's a position that's hard on your body.
Yeah.
And they tend to be bigger, so they tend to have to take bigger hits to get them down.
But it is interesting. When he broke into this league, there were 265-pound linebackers. Like, you can't – that position just evaporated.
Yeah.
You cannot cover a tight end today at 265. Good luck.
The game is so fast now, too.
It's so fast. Hockey's the same way. I mean, I'm not a big hockey fan. Hockey's so much faster now. I YouTube stuff all the time. I'll go watch old NBA, old hockey. Hockey was so slow in the 70s. You watch these guys now, they are...
Yeah, but they all wear dresses now.
Weather's changing. Stay comfortable no matter what with Tommy John underwear. 20% off your first order. TommyJohn.com/herd. Check out their site and perform at your best with M-Drive. Free shipping. 60-day money-back guarantee. MDriveForMen.com. This weekend, I am going to be doing journalism.
Is it a cigar weekend?
No cigars, no alcohol. Got to figure out who the next coach of LSU and USC is. Got to break those stories. I am doing journalism this weekend. Next week is story breaking time. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Love your fam. Speak for yourself is around the corner on a Friday. Can't wait. Going home and watching football all weekend. It's the herd.